fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
Are you coming to the train, led by a man who wants to break the chains? Establishment is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out for a wall built by crane? Media is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out the fools who lead in vain? Lobbyists are terrified, they can't control our reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train? We're ahead of hope, side by side with me. Make America great again, break the chains. Let's meet this year on the Trump train.
And we are going to be respected by the world again and not laughed at like we're all a bunch of stupid people being led by incompetent politicians. It's not going to go on any longer.
Are you coming to the train to take our great country back again? Join the revolution, break the chains. Let's meet this year on a Trump train.
We're gonna win at the borders. We're gonna win, and we're gonna keep winning. And we are going to make America great again, greater than ever before. Greater than ever before.
April 28th, 2024, you're listening to Revolution Radio, the best radio network on the internet, and this is Dr. Johnny keeping the truth alive, and I ask you to please be generous with your contribution to this network at freedomslips.org. Dr. Johnny gives every month through the Patreon account that I started, and you can set one up too. Just set one up on freedomslips.org on a Patreon account and automatically donate $5 or more per month. It's so easy. So get a Patreon account today, right on freedomslips.org, and keep Dr. Johnny on the air. And if you don't donate to Revolution Radio, please give a generous donation to Dr. Johnny. All the hosts do not get paid, and we really appreciate you and you donating if you can. We've been working hard to bring you the truth and the news you can use so you can have a better life for yourself and your family. You're now connected to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD Command Center, where Dr. Johnny with a bald eagle eye is keeping a vigilant watch on Washington, D.C., our country, and our solar system. That's right. You are now listening to the Master Survivor, bringing you hope, health, and happiness but most important of all, the truth about our world and providing the tools to help you survive and thrive. I am your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor, best-selling author, master survivor, and virus recovery expert. Well, folks, I live in Texas, and we've had a lot of storms the last 3 days, and they've been really passing through the whole Midwest, actually. And, you know, I just want to go over a couple of things with you that are so important. Dateline, Saturday, April 27th, a white hat blockade prevented an armed FEMA convoy from entering the tornado-ravaged suburb of Elkhorn, Nebraska, Saturday morning, just yesterday, after a violent twister outbreak raised hundreds of homes and businesses and left citizens stunned and clamoring for necessities such as food, water, shelter, and electricity. 2 days earlier, Marine Corps Forces Cyberspace Command eavesdropped on a telephone conversation between FEMA Director Diane Croswell and a Mission Support Associate Administrator Tammy Franklin. The tyrannical twosome discussed the National Weather Service's heightened risk for a tornado outbreak in the Great Plains and mentioned having a survey team ready to assess future storm damage. A seemingly prophetic Croswell suggested having a caravan prepared to roll into Omaha once the storms dissipated, prompting an inquiry from her subordinate. And at that point, Tammy Franklin said, "Armed?" And then Croswell replied, "Standard procedure, but be cautious. We're taking too many losses lately." Given FEMA's history of terrorizing and burglarizing storm victims, Cyberspace Command notified General Smith, who asked if they could get a bead on Creswell's location. He was told that the elusive FEMA administrator, Creswell, had made the call from Switzerland. Creswell, among many and a horde of despotic deep staters who have been hiding abroad to avoid getting picked up and shipped to Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, the spa. And I quote from my source, he said, "These guys just won't stop. You'd think they'd be a bit more cautious after the passing we gave them in Maui. Their endurance is surprising," General Smith's office revealed. He added that FEMA's longevity is largely contingent on its access to unlimited cash and willingness to employ convicted felons. The agency is currently binge hiring, offering $30 an hour in a desperate effort to replenish its rank and file. My source said White Hat's access FEMA's application database and found it was indiscriminately glossing over felons that preclude government employment and firearm possession. My source said kidnappers, sexual assault, home invaders, FEMA doesn't care. You know, $30 an hour, they'll take them. He compared Creswell to actor Cliff DeYoung's portrayal of abolitionist Colonel J. Montgomery in the 1989 film Glory, wherein the Jayhawker pillaged and firebombed the city of Darien using hatred of slavery as a pretense for personal profit. FEMA has coffers of cash and black budget surplus in overseas accounts, they plunder because they enjoy it. Any FEMA employee taking up arms against or robbing citizens is guilty of treason, and General Smith expected that that would happen if FEMA rolled into Omaha if a storm struck, which it did. Upon hearing the call between Creswell and Franklin, the general activated two rifle platoons and had them flown to Afut Air Force Base, a White Hat-controlled installation southeast of Omaha. As they prepared for a possible engagement, Cyberspace Command monitored FEMA's tactical frequencies, hoping to glean the agency's next move. That information came late Friday evening after devastating tornadoes flattened homes in Omaha suburb of Elkhorn. And I quote, Intel was an advanced damage assessment team would arrive in Elkhorn at first light. Damage assessment team is really lingo for terrorists. We got word they're coming into Elkhorn from Lincoln on Highway 6, and the general decided that we'd have an ambush, a little surprise for them, my source said. The Marines, he added, positioned vehicles on either side of Ashland Bridge spanning the Platte River while a reconnaissance team drove through Lincoln in a civilian car in search of FEMA raiders. At 3:45 a.m., the recon team spotted six SUVs with FEMA decals on the doors and two tactical mobile command centers driving north toward the bridge. The FEMA convoy rolled to a stop before crossing the bridge, its forward motion halted by a Humvee roadblock and 50 Marines pointing rifles and a couple of AT-4 rocket launchers at the lead vehicle. The platoon leader, a lieutenant, made clear his intent. A bullhorn amplified his voice as he informed FEMA that arming themselves or retreating would end with their destruction. The rear element remained hidden on the opposite side of the river in case FEMA foolishly tried to flee. Marines swarmed the FEMA cavalcade, pulling supervisors and grunts from their vehicles and restraining them. The Marine lieutenant told the FEMA agent in charge he intended to inspect FEMA's cargo for weapons. If all you're carrying is food and water and not guns, you have nothing to worry about, the lieutenant told him. And then the agent in charge, however, said Marines had no authority to delay his, quote, mission of mercy, end quote, though he admitted to having a small stash of firearms purely for self-defense. The minuscule stash, our source said, turned out to be 34 M4 carbines, 27 Glock 23 pistols, 3 M24 sniper weapons, and a plethora of ammo, although FEMA had enough weapons to wage a small war. It carried not a single MRE or bottle of water, nor any relief supplies to aid the now homeless residents of Elkhorn, the lieutenant told the agent in charge. We'll be confiscating these. While frisking the agent in charge, the lieutenant found what our source called the smoking gun on him. And get this, a document that held names and addresses of Elkhorn, Nebraska's wealthiest residents. It listed their jobs, annual income, and whether they ever filled out a Form 4473, American Tobacco and Firearms mandatory firearms transaction record. And the lieutenant said him, "Hey, it's a good day for gun confiscation, isn't it?" he said to the agent in charge. The agent protested, "We just need to know who has guns for our own safety," he said. And then the lieutenant replied, "Well, you're not going to Elkhorn today. In fact, you're not going anywhere except to Gitmo. And you and whatever you call yourselves team leaders, the rest of your relief team can leave back to where whatever rock they crawled out from under. And your men can tell Creswell she's not welcome here either, not welcome anywhere." Disarmed and disheartened, the FEMA convoy left without having burglarized or terrorized a single resident. The lead and three others got, well, they'll be treated as enemy combatants, and they're taken into custody. Marines still are in the area in Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa, and they'll repel or eliminate any further FEMA invaders, according to my source in General Smith's office. So fear not. People are safe in the Plains area in Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa. They don't have to worry about FEMA. And folks, this is just what the Biden administration has in store. Whenever there's a disaster, they'll go and raid your homes. And they're trying to promote this green climate change, this Green New Deal, and this climate change, and promote all these, you know, electric cars, wind generators. All this stuff is really a farce. It really is disastrous on so many levels. It doesn't even make money. Same with the solar cells. They wear out after 20-something years, and if a hailstorm comes, the solar cells are destroyed too, so they want to take away all our regular power and put us all on this green new power, which will not only destroy our grid, but it won't produce all the time, so then we'll be all out of electricity. So let me just tell you a little more about that. Climate fail, New York to scrap most of its offshore wind projects that are not economically viable. Oh, yeah. New York will scrap most of its offshore wind projects because they're not economically viable. This is an article that was penned by Ben Koo on April 20th, 2024. The state of New York has confirmed that it will be scrapping most of its signature offshore wind projects, and a major blow to all those pushing for climate change hoax. These projects are intended to help state achieve its goal of 70% renewable energy by 2030 while becoming a nationwide leader in renewable energy, although they have not been deemed viable or practical. According to another publication in Politico, New York state authority in charge of the deals announced Friday that no final agreements could be reached with the three projects that receive provisional awards in October of 2023. Those bids were all linked to major supply chain investments by General Electric and a larger turbine it plan to build that was aimed at boosting the region's renewable energy portfolio. Subsequent to the provisional award announcement, material modification to the project bid into New York's third offshore wind solicitation caused technical and commercial complexities between provisional awardees and their partners, resulting in provisionally awarded parties' inability to come to terms. Environmental advocates are alarmed by the challenges facing the industry. Oh, yeah, none of these technologies work. Offshore wind is key to reaching New York's goal of 70% renewable energy sources by 2030. This is all part of Agenda 2030, along with other longer-term targets, but there is a growing evidence that the mandate will be hard to reach. Such news underlines the growing body of evidence that wind power and other forms of renewable energy are not practical alternatives to meeting America's long-term energy needs, all while Biden's regime wages war on the country's vast natural energy reserves. Now, I can't overemphasize how serious this is to our grid. Dr. Johnny's been reporting on this for a couple of shows now, because it would seriously take down our grid if we go green on all power. In other words, eliminate, you know, gas-powered and coal-fired generators, which they want to do by 2030. If they eliminate that, trust me, folks, we will not have any power because the grid will fail. These green technologies don't work. They don't put out enough power. They cost way too much. And they don't make a profit. They're way, way, way too costly to even turn a profit. And the technology is not really that sound. They wear out. They break down. And when there's a freeze, the wind generators don't turn. Now, this is from American Greatness, penned by Jeff Reynolds, April 24th, 2024. And the title is, The Green New Deal is Based on Lies About Budgets, Green Energy, and Climate Science. That's the title of his article. Now, he's a very, very knowledgeable person. So I'm just telling you, his title is, The Green New Deal is Based on Lies About Budgets, Green Energy, and Climate Science. And he goes further into the article. Contrary to the breathless pronouncements of the globalists and elitists and climate hysterics, we don't have a climate crisis. He is right. What plagues us, rather, is a crisis of lying about climate, science, and big government solutions to these imagined problems. Those who would control your life tax you into oblivion and expand the role of government have built their theories on junk science and bad public policy. Instead of blowing trillions of dollars on projects that sound good but don't accomplish anything, we should be getting government out of the way so people all over the world can lift themselves up out of poverty, Jeff Reynolds further explains. In my latest expose in Restoration News, he says, I go into painstaking detail to show how climate radicalism has its basis in junk science. The adherence to this junk science, despite no direct evidence to support the claims of impending doom, more resemble a cult than a scientific pursuit. He is so right. He is so right. Just like when I reported to you about CERN, that is junk science. And yet they extorted trillions of dollars from all the countries in the world to build that damn thing. Just because they can get smaller and smaller particles and call it something doesn't mean they're discovering anything. I digress. But Jeff Reynolds says, the lies run so deep, I believe the science has morphed into a hybrid cult, a quasi-religious fervor. The mechanisms created by this cult of scientism empower oligarchs and billionaires using a phony scientific consensus as justification to control private citizens and whole economies. Individual liberty and the ability to prosper be damned. We have a planet to save, they say. Think no further than the vax, folks. Remember, follow the science. It's safe. You know, we got to stop this plague from killing off 90% of the people. Well, actually, the vaccine is what's killing off 90% of the people. That was their goal. And it was all a lie. Just like this whole climate change is all a lie. The Green New Deal is here, and it's worse than you think, says Jeff. The Inflation Reduction Act has sent billions of dollars in the most radical pet projects imaginable, grants for climate justice subsidies for hydrogen hubs, tax rebates for electric vehicles, and massive expansions of wind and solar. The real goals seem nothing short of expanding every aspect of the federal government, regardless of the tenuous connection to climate. Further, climate czar, former climate czar John Kerry famously boasted about the IRA, citing investments that would bring down the cost of clean technologies. They were stealing your money, plain and simple. Climate evangelist Al Gore bragged that the IRA was by far the best and biggest climate legislation any country's ever possessed or passed, allotting $1.2 trillion, with a T, to the acceleration of the deployment of renewable energy and batteries. In other words, the Biden administration lied about its true intentions with the Inflation Reduction Act. As everyone can see, as they can see now, it had nothing to do with inflation. Actually, scratch that, it had the opposite of the stated effect, jacking up inflation even more with insane increases in federal spending. In effect, in combination with several executive orders by Joseph Biden, the IRA has implemented the Green New Deal. That was their goal. That's $1.2 trillion on top of annual federal spending levels, which have already created a national debt crisis. The United States debt has toppled over $34 trillion, with the annual spending deficit approaching $2 trillion annually. Not to put too fine a point on it, but the U.S. federal debt to GDP ratio is a staggering 122% and growing. That's an economist nightmare. In Biden's worldview, nothing matters outside of defeating the forces of big oil and creating a command economy to save the planet. If only they could subvert unbridled capitalism and the profit motive, consumers would finally have a chance between planet-choking dirty carbon emissions and cheap, reliable green energy that will keep Mother Earth from boiling over. But it's not getting warmer, folks. That whole global warming was such a hoax, they had to change the name and make it climate change. So, okay, it went cooler. Okay, it's climate change. It went warmer. Oh, it's climate change. Oh, there's more hurricanes. Oh, there's climate change. Oh, there's more tornadoes. It's climate change. See, that makes it very convenient for their talking points and for the media to gaslight all of us with their echo chambers. If only their baseline assumptions had any basis in fact or science, even if one thing they said was true would help. Oh no. As the junk science report details, government agencies from NOAA, that's the National Oceanic Association of America, and the NASA, you know, not a space agency, and the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, have engaged in such extensive manipulation of historical temperature data as to render it meaningless. In other words, NOAA, NASA, and the EPA have skewed all the weather and temperature numbers, folks. I kid you not. The United States has a little over 1,200 weather reporting stations, but a full 40% of them have not reported actual observed data in several decades. I'll repeat that. The United States has a little over 1,200 weather reporting stations, but a full 40% of them, almost half, have not reported actual observed weather data in several decades. NOAA simply puts out temperature estimates for the stations that have gone inactive. So it's their skewed numbers, not actual clear data from what's happening in our environment. I can't make my point more clear. They're giving us fake weather, they're giving us fake energy production, and they're giving us, okay, according to the EPA's own data, over 80% of observed weather American weather stations showed a cooling trend since 1980, and only 19% showing a warming trend in that same period. Something's wrong there, right? Yeah, 80% of them are reporting a cooling trend. So Al Gore, go somewhere and hide. Most importantly, several peer-reviewed studies have concluded that a rise in carbon dioxide concentrations in the atmosphere throughout history follows rises in average temperature. So rising COD does not precede warming trends and therefore cannot cause them. Meanwhile, the touted green energy cannot succeed at scales large enough to economical enough to even make a difference. So it's just the opposite of what they're reporting to you. Just one example. A recent study concluded that the cost of charging an electric vehicle comes out to over $17 per gallon when compared to refueling an internal combustion car. $17 a gallon is what it costs to charging an electrical vehicle. Meanwhile, electric vehicles continue to explode, catch on fire, fail in cold weather, or run out of juice for lack of a charging station. Range anxiety is a real thing that EV, electric vehicles manufacturers have failed to solve. Well, let me tell you, when Elon Musk moved Tesla down to Austin, Texas to build his, Tesla cars, well, he forgot that Texas is a big state. So when somebody buys a Tesla car and they're wanting to drive across Texas, there's not a refueling station everywhere you go. So it's impossible to cross, Texas, lie east to west or south to north. You have to really, really plan on where you're going to go to refuel, or you just can't do it. When presented with all the facts, consumers have continually chosen energy that is inexpensive, reliable, and available instead of their green energy pipe dreams. The climate cultists exist in a bubble where that only happens because big oil unfairly manipulates the marketplace. They believe, bring big government mandates on big government expenditures to the battlefield to defeat evil wrought by big oil. At least that's their cover story. What they really desire is more government, more money, more power, and less consumer choice. That's the reality. That's what the Green New Deal truly offers, an enormous expansion of the power and scope of government in the form of a command economy. As we have seen throughout history, command economies necessarily come with high prices, a loss of individual liberty, and a reduced prosperity for all. If Biden somehow gets a second term in office, rest assured, the damage he will do in the name of climate change will dwarf what has already been accomplished. He will absolutely crash the grid, because by 2030, if we can't use fossil fuels, you know, the renewable energies won't be able to support our electric needs. Let me give you a little more detail here. Where this is all going. The goal is to overwhelm and destroy our national power grid. That's the goal. You know, when people found out about the vaccines and they found out it came back to a conspiracy, well, it used to be a theory. They said, you know, that they wanted to eliminate 90% of the population with, a bioweapon, injectable bioweapon into the arm of everybody on Earth. And then they found out that that was the goal under the guise of we're trying to save you from this pandemic. Well, now they're coming with this green energy. We're trying to save you from big oil polluting the planet and the need and power. But the goal is actually to overwhelm and destroy our power grid. Do you think that is far-fetched? Well, think again. I want to bring you the following article reprinted with permission from the DC Journal, April 26, 2024, by Taylor Millard, titled, Energy Experts Warn New Biden EPA Rules Will Kill Jobs and Endanger the Grid. That's the title of the article. Energy experts warn new Biden EPA rules will kill jobs and endanger the grid. So I'll get into what he says right here. Energy advocates warn that the Biden administration's new regulations for power plants announced Thursday. This is for the power plants, okay? Announced Thursday will hurt American energy jobs and put an already straining electric grid at even greater risk. This is completely out of touch with reality, says Tisha Curtis, CEO of energy consultant PetroNerds, and what she told Inside Sources, quote, it's almost as though they're wishing the American manufacturer, American producer, and the American consumer to materially decline economically and to not be able to compete or survive at all, end quote. In other words, it would choke everything. Sweeping new rules from the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, will require all existing coal-fired plants, that's electric power plants, coal-fired, and new natural gas powered plants that capture about 90% of, you know, their carbon emissions. That's why they want to close them, because they say that's where it's coming from. An additional rule ordered coal-fired plants to reduce mercury emissions by 67% for plants that use lignite, aka brown coal, you know, the more, earlier coal. You know, mercury emissions must be reduced by 70%. The rules exempt natural gas power plants currently operating in the United States, but will apply to future natural gas facilities. The EPA estimates its new regulations will reduce carbon emissions by 1.38 billion metric tons through 2047. The downside is the rules will also almost certainly mean less investment in natural gas power generation at a time when the push for electrification is straining the ability of the grid to meet demand. It's already in high demand right now, and it can't meet the needs of our power. And I quote, low cost and reliable energy is arguably needed now more than ever, said Marcellus Shale, President Marcellus Shale Coalition, President David Callahan. And he continues, quote, America's natural gas sector is capable and ready to meet those critical demands, but we can only do so if the government prioritizes consumer and economic solutions instead of misguided policies that only please the radical environmental agenda, end quote. It's not a hyperbole to suggest that the United States runs on natural gas. The U.S. Energy Information Administration said that it generated more than 43% of the country's electricity last year. A hodgepodge of renewable energy sources ranked a distant second at 21%. That's all the other renewable energies. America led the world in natural gas exports in 2023, sending out 20.9 billion cubic feet per day to other countries. A 2023 study found that the natural gas sector contributed $41 billion to the Pennsylvania's economy and supported 123,000 jobs. So if they shut that down, then in Pennsylvania, 123,000 jobs will be lost. U.S. carbon emissions has been declining for years and faster than other regions like EU and Asia. Their carbon emissions are growing. Ours are declining. So why does Biden want to keep putting the curb on us? The Center for Climate and Energy Solutions, which supports the new Biden emission regulations, said the U.S. energy sector emissions declined 36% from 2005 to 2021. They credit the switch from coal to natural gas for the drop. Well, we got plenty of natural gas. We don't have to burn coal and everything. The PJM interconnection, which operates the power grid for 13 states along the Atlantic seacoast and the Midwest in Washington, D.C., reported last month that their carbon emissions dropped 43% from 2023 to 2005 to 2023. 43% carbon emissions dropped, all while energy demand increased. Demand shot up across the nation as tech companies opened up new data centers. It's projected that the U.S. data centers will reach each require more than 30 gigawatts of energy by 2029. Some data centers are expected to require as much power as it typically takes to power hundreds of thousands of homes. Well, it's good for the economy, said Michael Bloodworth, President and CEO of America's Power. That means more energy capacity is needed, not less. We're already facing an energy crisis. And I quote, he says, already utilities have announced plans to shut down more than 60,000 megawatts of coal-fired generation over the next 5 years. These retiring power plants could power either 600 data centers or more than 600 million homes, 600 data centers or more than 60 million homes, she said. Other energy groups criticized the EPA for caring about policies more than practical guidelines. Quote, we are disappointed that the agency did not address the concerns we raised about carbon capture and storage, said Edison Electric Institute President CEO Dan Brawlich. He does not believe the technology will be ready for a full-scale use by 2032 when the regulations are set to go into effect. But the Biden administration's EPA appears to have ignored warnings from the power grid operators. They don't care. They just want to shut everybody down. PJM said if coal and natural gas keeps shutting down at the White House preferred pace, states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland, Indiana, and Ohio could face blackouts by 2028. I kid you not. And rural areas are the most vulnerable to the power shortages. Our quote, it undermines electric reliability and poses grave consequences for an already stressed out electrical grid, National Rural Electrical Cooperative Associate Chief Executive Jim Matheson told Wall Street Journal, calling the rules unachievable. I'm giving you the facts, folks. This is what they're telling Wall Street Journal. This is what all these major people are telling, the leaders in the field are telling. But these progressive activists, on the other hand, want the Biden administration to do even more. The regulations are clear-eyed about the science to stop the climate crisis and save lives. We must be off fossil fuels. When have we heard to follow the science before and stop this crisis? We heard that about the vaccines, right? Same thing here. They just want to push their crazy, idiotic thing that drains all our money, takes us off the power, and gets us helpless on this bureaucracy that they've created to pay themselves for this false pseudoscience. Sunrise Communication Director Steve Harlan said Biden can keep building trust with young people by declaring a climate emergency and rejecting new fossil fuel projects in the coming months. Republicans are troubled by the new regulations. They accuse Biden and the Democrats of waging war on energy to win progressive votes. U.S. Senator Shelby Moore Capito, Republican from West Virginia, has said she'd introduce legislation to overturn the new carbon rules. The new EPA regulations will likely end up in federal court, and there's no guarantee they will survive. In 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Obama-era power plant emissions regulations. Today, don't think their fossil fuel green energy technology will do the job. It's a disastrous, out-of-control bureaucracy destined to fail. Now I want to tell you about the latest at Gitmo, the spa. An ethical compromised deep stater was hanged at Guantanamo Bay on Wednesday morning, even though he was convicted of treason on March 15th and scheduled to hang on March 26th. Dr. Johnny will report to you why there were delays. As reported, a tribunal recommended that the U.S. attorney for the district a rope necklace for illegally and unconstitutional imposing severe prison sentences on innocent patriots who peacefully visited the Capitol, Washington, D.C. on January 6th. My JAG source revealed that Admiral Crandall had a valid and compelling reason for postponing Graves' execution. The diabolical district attorney had inexplicably developed a case of somnolencia, or sleep talking, a benign form of parasomnia that typically needs no medical intervention. The night after Graves' trial, an alert Camp Delta MP, military police, heard Graves mumbling rowdily, you know, in his sleep. The longer Graves spoke, the more precise his words became. Even though he was asleep, he was just talking like a canary. And the military police realized he was suddenly uttering proper nouns, the names of J-6ers he had sentenced to periods of incarceration. He was naming their names while he was sleep-talking. Amid Graves' nocturnal ramblings came a non-sequitur, the phrase Rura Pente, a fictional subterranean penal planetoid colony in the Star Trek lore. Rather than dismiss Graves' slumberous ravelings and ramblings, the military police jotted down on a notepad what he heard and later informed his watch commander, who got the notes to Admiral Crandall. Sure, Graves could have just been a Trekkie, but the Admiral thought there's more to it because the deep state uses a lot of code, my source said. Two things vexed Admiral Crandall. He said Graves' utterance of Matthew Broadfield, a Marine Corps captain who inexplicably vanished off the surface of the earth shortly after supporting President Trump at the Capitol on January 6th, and his mentioning of the Klingon internment camp. It has been JAG's contention that deep state lawless dragnet caught guiltless patriots, military and civilian, who never saw the inside of a courtroom, a supposition that proved true in March of 2023 when Special Forces rescued six Marines from a covertly deep state prison in Long Island, New York. Admiral Crandall suspected Pura Pente was code for another secret deep state penitentiary. Very shrewd, this Admiral Crandall. The morning after Graves unwittingly blabbered, MPs pulled him from his cell under the pretense of a contraband search and discreetly installed miniature microphones to eavesdrop on his torpid nocturnal talking. Over the next few nights, Graves was singularly focused on President Trump. I hate Trump, Trump this, Trump that. You know, F Trump, F MAGA, F his family, ad nauseum went on and on. That was one night of nocturnal ramblings. His next meaningful phrases escaped his lips on April 3rd between sleepily trashing MAGA and Republican Congress people for whom he held disdain. Gray's eloquations included the sentence, send Trump to rural Pente, and the word ADCAC, an Aleutian island, I hope I say that right, ADAK, an Aleutian island, an abandoned military base lost in time 1,200 miles from Anchorage, Alaska. Admiral Crandall connected the dots, as the saying goes, and relayed Graves' words to General Eric Smith and the White Hat Council. 4 days later, a joint Delta Force Army Ranger freed 14 civilians and 12 military J-6ers from imprisonment in the Adak Aleutian Island. Admiral Crandall eavesdropped on Graves for two more weeks before deciding there were no more helpful information to share. On Wednesday, Graves was told it was time for him to hang. As he stood atop the gallows, Graves told Admiral Crandall, hang me, my secrets die with me. And for the first time, there's a chuckle. And I quote Admiral, he says, you don't know it, but you've already given us what we've needed to know, detainee Graves. And if there's more, we'd get it from someone else. I bid you farewell. With a smile on his face, the Admiral replied, and Graves was pronounced dead at 11:34 a.m., April 17th, 2024. So, I want to go into some other details about Klaus Schwab, and his deteriorating health there at Gitmo and the saga of the globalist kingpin, you know, but it culminated in his death Wednesday afternoon after President Donald J. Trump reportedly ordered Darcy Crandall to pull the plug. And I'll get into some of those details. Some people want to know, maybe some people don't, but we're about to have our break. And when I come back from the break, I'm going to display those details. And then I'll go a little bit more about my own story, because when I hear about people suffering from, you know, organ failure, that was what I was suffering from, liver failure. I'll get into that right after I tell about Klaus Schwab's demise. And I'll be back after these messages coming up in about 1 minute.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the secret kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone Anchor. Welcome to the Crypt.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD, and I'm Dr. Johnny. And I was just telling you at the end of the last hour about Klaus Schwab. There's so many stories going around. You know, when these deep staters are arrested, and there's so many different versions that are floating around. Some say he got shot and was assassinated, and some, you know. Anyway, but the real story was that the White Hats arrested him in Switzerland and brought him to Gitmo, okay? So the saga of the globalist kingpin, Klaus Schwab, did culminate in his death on Wednesday afternoon, April 24th. Now, Schwab suffered from organ failure, and particularly, you know, kidney failure, renal failure, and adrenochrome withdrawal, and had been on life support ever since he arrived at the Naval Hospital Guantanamo Bay on April 19th. And staff had questioned whether he would recover and be deemed fit to stand trial, a prospect that diminished with each passing hour. It was grim, folks. He was really... And he was in a coma, okay? Wednesday evening, President Trump telephoned Admiral Crandall to inquire about Schwab's condition and whether the 86-year-old deathbringer, World Economic Forum leader, would ever be healthy enough to face a military tribunal for his myriad of crimes against humanity. The Admiral, my source said, informed Trump that Schwab's prognosis was bleak and that Gitmo's finest physician put odds on his recovery less than 1 to 150,000. Mr. President, if he regains consciousness, it's unlikely he'll know where he is or what he's doing. He's a vegetable now. He's mostly in a coma, Mr. President. A specialist here did suggest a radical theory, therapy that could stimulate him awake and stand trial, but it's unethical, immoral, and not something we'd try, at least not without your approval, the Admiral said. What is it? President Trump asked. Well, Mr. President, it would mean acquiring and administering adrenochrome, the Admiral said. That's not happening, said President Trump authoritarily. Schwab's a loser and deserves a tremendous hanging, but no point dragging this out. Pull the plug. It's my call. President Trump said. An hour later, my source said physicians removed Schwab's breathing tube and his heart stopped beating, and he flatlined shortly thereafter, within minutes. He'd be kept on ice like the rest of them, my source said. And folks, you know, this thing, whenever somebody suffers from organ failure, I really relate. See, I never, listen, folks, this is where Dr. Johnny's different from the other patriots there. I never wanted them to go hang, you know, all these Bill Gates and you know, Anthony Fauci and Klaus Schwab. I never really wanted them to hang. What I wanted is for them to bring him to Gitmo and give him the vaccine. That's what I wanted. Oh, we want you to make sure you don't get the COVID, you know, and just give them what they produced to give to us. That was what I wanted. But again, I digress. But when anybody's suffering from organ failure, I have a little bit of sympathy, even for Klaus Schwab, because I suffered from organ failure, liver failure. I mean, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about my story. Every once in a while, I'll come out and tell about my story in more detail. But after I went to AA, that's Alcoholics Anonymous, and went straight in 1991, then I just never could get energy back. I was just so worn out. It seemed like the cocaine kept me going, literally kept me going, because it is a stimulant, okay? But then when all that wore off and I was going to AA, shoot, I couldn't make it but more than 3 or 4 hours in a day. I go to a meeting and come back, and I'd be on the couch, and sometimes I'd fall asleep, and I just didn't have any energy. So I went in, you know, for an examination, and the doctors, you know, gave me the death sentence because, you know, I had this hepatitis C that was 12 million viral load and cirrhosis, over 96% scar tissue. And they said, you know, I wasn't going to make it, and I would die from liver failure, you know, if I didn't get that transplant. They wanted to transplant my liver, but I walked away and studied my own way of healing. Now, in those days, I remember my sponsor in AA, and this was in Jackson, Mississippi, because where I went to treat, where I went to get the examination was at University of Mississippi Hospital in Jackson, Mississippi. And but after that, I just walked away. I said, no, I'm just going to heal my liver, blah, blah, blah. And so I was just studying up everything about how, you know, everything I learned from the lab, how to heal up my liver. And I'll never forget my sponsor in AA, because when you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, you have a sponsor, you know, if you want to drink or whatever. So, yeah, I was there. I'm Johnny. I'm an alcoholic drug addict, you know. This is the AA meeting. So he was my sponsor, but and I kept telling him, well, I'm studying about this and I'm studying about that. And so he kept telling me, why should you worry about how the body works or how to heal your liver, you know, or study any of these remedies? That's why we have doctors. Let them worry about all that. You just stay sober and just do what the doctor tells you to do. Well, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting a transplant. So I got a different sponsor, okay? Because he, you know, I said no. Well, the doctor told me to get a liver transplant or I was going to die, and I made up my mind that I was not going to do either one. Not only was I not going to get the transplant, I wasn't going to die. That's where the whole master survivor thing came from. My determination to get well outweighed the popular notion of just following the expert's advice. I guess I just didn't make it a good robot in order to be normal in a dumbed-down society. But more importantly, I found a way to live and to be free of the virus and the cirrhosis. Hence, I'm a master survivor. Okay? That's where it came from. 1994. At work here are two important strategies. One was following through with my determination to survive, and the other was to find what healing therapies actually worked. Determination was the drive for my mind, and healing protocols were at work for my body. I knew the key was harmony of body, mind, and spirit. Sounds simple enough, but how often do one of those or two of those things hold you back from your goals? Have you ever been depressed and not wanted to follow through with the things you needed to be done? Or have you ever been too tired and did not want to do anything? Gosh, I sure have, because in those early days, I was a couch potato half the time because my liver was shot. I sure have on both of those things. So what kept me going? The short answer was the ridicule. You know, I told everybody, I said, well, they said I was going to die and I'm delirious. Well, you are delirious if you're not going to do what the doctor said you're going to do. That's what they all told me. Everybody, my family. But that's what kept me going was the ridicule. With 96% scar tissue and over 12 million viral load, they said I had 6 months to live, but I refused the drug treatment and the liver transplant. The head doctor said I was not thinking right and that I was delirious. And from then on, everyone, including my family, said I was delirious and I was going to die. To them, I was a zombie. At first, it made me angry. But then, in my spirit, I found peace. I decided and knew I was going to live. I knew it deep in my gut. I was going to make it. No, you can do this. I'm going to make it. Growing up, I heard my father say, he was a medical doctor, and I heard my father say the patients who he helped in the hospital, who were the fighters, always survived. Bruce Lee, a true fighter, one of my greatest mentors, said the body follows the mind. So I kept believing I'm going to survive. I'm a fighter. I also learned from my many miracle recovery survivors that I studied, you know, that they recovered from these miracle recoveries and been, you know, they said that was being happy was the most important thing. So those were some of the factoid truths and put it all together, you know, fighting and being happy at the same time. So those were some of the things I put together, and I called it Johnny's 80-20 rule in those early days. The 80% was attitude, making a decision to live, being happy while you're fighting, and becoming your body's best friend. The other 20% was my new protocol that I developed called the Master Survivor Program. Practicing the diet, cleansing, and exercise to raise the immunity response. When I fully applied these new protocols, I went from 5.4 million viral load, because I did a lot of stuff and got it down to 5.4 million viral load. But then I hit a plateau. But then when I applied my new protocol, you know, Johnny's 80-20 rule, I went from 5.4 million viral load to non-detectable. I was so happy. Heck, I started at 12 million viral load and 96% scar tissue. Everyone said I was going to die. I just could not listen to them anymore. The more they ridiculed me, the more I fought to live and the more I fought to recover and be happy about doing it. Now I had a roadmap to recovery, something that made sense to me. It provided a clear path to a long life without hepatitis or cirrhosis and a healthy liver. It was a path that I traveled and came out successful in the other end. Today, I'm over 70 years old, and I've lost most of my hair and hormones, but I can still run every morning, and I have vibrant health from my delirious recovery. Do you think it's worth it to be delirious? You bet it is. Ladies and gentlemen, not too long ago, I found out that the contact tab on my website, you know, it wasn't working because I was getting attacks all the time. And things were going haywire things on my website, sometimes on my phone, sometimes I get calls at night. Well, I got that fixed, but I know the internet now is not a level playing field, especially after, you know, Edward Snowden ran away. He ran all the way to Russia. And he told what was really going on and how the internet really worked. And the powers that be obviously do not like naturopaths telling the truth about health and how you can recover from hepatitis and cirrhosis. But I'm a lab guy, and on this show, I always bring you the facts. Wow, over the years, I've been hacked and hassled and attacked so many times. But my website was repaired, and the contact tab is now working again. And no matter how many times I'm hacked, no matter how many drones they send, no matter how many lines I see in the sky, no matter how many buildings turn to dust, no matter how and what tyranny they flood on the masses, no matter how many lies they tell in the media, no matter what they do to our president, no matter how hard they push their fear button, the fear buttons on the whole population, no matter what they do or what they say, the Master Survivor will be here every Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time right here on Revolution Radio on Studio B, giving you the tools you need to navigate your life through the minefields of tyranny. The whole point is survival. The whole point is never give up your free will. The whole point is, remember, you have the power right in your hands to do anything you want. Don't ever let anyone take that away. It's time to take control and to make it a better life for yourself and your loved ones. If you control what you eat and keep your mind free of fear, then you will be in control of your life, and you'll have a chance to follow the Master Survivor program. No matter what they do, the Master Survivor will bring you the tools to stay away from the mind control, to keep your body healthy, to eat the right foods, and to maintain happiness and contentment. Remember what Johnny's always said, even during the worst of times, being a Master Survivor is being like being a bug in a rug, and you will survive even when the tanks drive over, because you'll be protected by the rug, and you will survive. I will be talking about the modern world, and in a news flash of the changes taking place, and in most cases, a little too fast, but we need to be prepared. The best way to prepare is to become a Master Survivor and adapt the Master Survivor program into your life. And get started, you just go to the Master, it's all part of the Master Survivor University, folks. This is what came out of the Master Survivor University, is the Master Survivor program. You just go to themastersurvivoruniversity.com and choose number one, the HTMA. It's all about ancient wisdom solutions backed by laboratory science to maintain our health, integrity, our freedoms, and self-reliance. In other words, the purpose of the Master Survivor is to let you know changes are happening that affect our bodies and our minds, and how to always be healthy, clear, and balanced. On my shows, I will review all the new things taking place and give you the truth and the tools to help you survive. I will give you solutions based on ancient wisdom that's validated by modern laboratory science. Remember what Johnny's always said, for more than 40 years, ancient wisdom is today's greatest health secret. All this came true from the Master Survivor University. And now you can be part of being a Master Survivor yourself. All you have to do is find once and for all and solve a lot of your problems. Go to themastersurvivoruniversity.com, The Master Survivor University, because the Master Survivor University is where it all came from, TheMasterSurvivorUniversity.com, and clicking on the Master Survivor Program, and start with number one, the hair tissue mineral analysis, and or you can click on the blue consultation tab and send Dr. Johnny a note, and I'll get back to you right away with how I can help you over if you have organ failure, if you have this or you have that, whatever. I've helped them all because that's what I'm here for, is to help you become a master survivor. Because are the deep state going to give up? No, they're going to keep after you tooth and nail until they're gone, and they want to make sure that you're gone with them if they have to go. You know what I find truly amazing in all this effort being made to get rid of all of us is what they're trying to do to get rid of Donald Trump. As he said many times, they're really after you. It's true. He's just in the way. It's now revealed that a group of prominent Trump-hating media commentaries, you know, have been meeting weekly. I kid you not. This is all true now. This is hard to believe. You know, some people say, oh, that's just a conspiracy theory. No, no. This is true. It's now been revealed that a group of prominent Trump-hating media commentators have been meeting weekly for over 2 years to strategize how to bring down Donald Trump. This article is from Joe Heff, April 24, 2024, on the Gateway Pundit, and now it's official, a group of prominent Trump-hating media commentators have been meeting weekly for over 2 years on how to bring down Trump, and I will name names. Bill Kristol, never Trump hater who's gone wacko. Andrew Weissman, enough said. Deep State Prince Lawrence Tribe, member of the Biden-Obama tribe, and Harvard nutcase George Conway, arguably the most abusive husband ever, this George Conway, most abusive husband, and then Jeffrey Tobin, he's a CNN commentator caught spanking it during a conference call. John Dean, deep stater, who set up Nixon to fail, that then testified in the Trump impeachment. They're all coordinating every week for over 2 years to take down Trump. Trump attorney Jeffrey Clark nailed this one. I called it, he said. A group of leftist legal commentators has been meeting weekly for about 2 years to strategize about how to bring down Donald Trump using the media. I even coined the term of the phenomena, journal lawfare, as my followers will be familiar with. Even this Politico article admits it. This is from Politico, okay? Just like Molly Ball Time article about how they fortified the 2020 election, they always have to brag about what they're trying to do to kill off Trump. This is from Politico, okay? Just some of the participants listed are Tribe, Weissman, Kristol, Conway, John Dean, Toby. I already named them to you. Politico reported that the group started meeting when they were coordinating their January 6th committee lies to the public, as the January 6th committee was working on its bombshell investigation into the Capitol riot and President Trump's efforts to overturn the last election. Committee staffers took some time out of their seemingly 24-hour jobs one day in 2022 to brief a group of lawyers and legal pundits on a Zoom call. The people on the call, according to Politico now, were affiliated with the investigation or the government. Oh, well, some of the the people on the call, the ones that went on the call were affiliated with the investigation and the government, but the ones that they put on the Zoom call were not affiliated with the investigative government. They were separate legal lawyers, but they would be familiar to anyone who watches cable news. They were some of the country's most well-known legal and political commentators, and they were there to give insights into the committee's work and learn about what to look for at the hearings. The group's gathering was not a one-time event, but in fact an installment of an exclusively weekly digital salon whose existence has not been previously reported from prominent legal analysts and progressives and conservative anti-Trump lawyers and pundits. But every Friday, they met on Zoom to hash out the latest twists and turns in the Trump legal saga and intellectually stress test the arguments facing Trump on his journey through the American legal system. There is more proof than that, and the media not only lies but coordinates their lies and gaslighting before it reaches the gullible audience. But wait, there are more revelations coming. Oh, yeah. Chasing Trump, a new documentary unveils massive corruption behind the Trump indictments, an article posted on the AMAC in Wednesday, April 24th, by Aaron Flanagan. With Trump's New York trial officially underway, one of the key questions emerged this presidential campaign cycle is how each of Trump's four trials and their eventual outcomes will affect the looming November election. In this media maelstrom comes Chasing Trump, Political Prosecutions, Justice Gone Wrong, a new documentary from Morningstar Studios produced in conjunction with American Greatness, a popular conservative online publication. The 30-minute film, which has been available online for free, addresses each of the four Trump indictments in depth, as well as New York Attorney General Letitia James' unprecedented civil lawsuit against Trump, and summarizes how each of them poses a threat to the rule of law in America. I mean, this is election interference, pure and simple. Though, continue with the article, though the corporate media has vigorously attempted to frame the trials as legally legitimate and uninfluenced by political motivations, any honest assessment of the four indictments shows they're really just thinly veiled attempts to prevent Trump from returning to the White House this fall. More voters are coming to see how the indictments against the former president and now presumptive Republican nominee pose a sinister threat to the quintessential American principle of equal justice under the law. And with Election Day just 6 months away, this film reveals just how dangerous they are. You have four or five different prosecutions in different forms and different highly aggressive theories and applications of the law, criminal defense attorney Gerald Bachetto says on the film. On the eve of the election for the President of the United States, can there be any doubt that there's a sentiment of this is to get Trump? Mike Davis, a prominent legal commentator and founder of Article 3 Project, echoed these sentiments, describing the prosecutions as blatant election interference and instances of Democratic lawfare to take out President Trump. He says they fear they can't beat Trump on November 5th, 2024, and so they just want to throw him in prison for the rest of his life to keep him from getting to the election. Davis bluntly states, the documentary then pivots to a discussion of the two Trump indictments brought by Jack Smith, the Biden administration appointed special counsel who has become notorious for his aggressive and political approach to legal prosecution. The film highlights the double standard in Smith Mar-a-Lago case, which seeks to imprison Trump based on his supposed mishandling of presidential documents, even though Biden has faced no legal consequences for his willful retention of top-secret national security documents following his vice presidency and even during his time as a U.S. senator. There's no one doing more damage to the First Amendment than Biden's special counsel, Jack Smith, says Davis. They are eviscerating the First Amendment with this bogus legal theory that they're using to go after Trump, where they're trying to criminalize clearly protected speech and conduct. Pacheco goes on to outline the dangerous precedents Smith his prosecution could set for future political leaders. Jack Smith, he said, prosecution of Donald Trump would chill every future president, every future leader from expressing themselves about the operation of government, whether it's lawful or not, and whether there are forces at work that are trying to undermine our American Constitution and our values and our way of life, he warns in the film. And will you chill free speech? When you chill free speech, he says, you seriously undermine our ability as a government to act in a transparent, open, and honest way. During the film's discussion of Smith's January 6th case against Trump, which is being tried in Washington, D.C., Pacheco and Davis note the hypocrisy of the left's attempts to criminalize Trump's questioning of the results of the 2020 presidential election. Even though Democrats have habitually objected to election results, including Trump's 2016 victory over Hillary Clinton, they kept yelling, "Oh, it's election rigging, they rigged it." The documentary then shifts to a discussion of Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Willis, who is attempting to use RICO laws to prosecute Trump as well as 18 other defendants for pursuing legitimate legal challenges to the presidential election results in Georgia. The film notes that in addition to Willis's long and well-established history of Democratic activism, she has used her indictment of the former president to raise money for her campaign, a move that casts significant doubt on the legitimacy of the charges. Willis also came under fire for her lover, Nathan Wade, who was hired as a legal investigator in the case despite his lack of prosecutorial experience, a move that the judge condemned as showing a tremendous lapse in judgment. White House visitor logs also show that Willis visited the Biden White House in the months prior to the indictment, raising questions that her potential coordination with the Biden administration went on. Moreover, as Davis notes, Willis has led crime out of control in Fulton County because while she's so busy working on prosecuting Trump, crime has gone out of control in Atlanta. It's elevated her commitment to prosecute, you know, and thus, because of her commitment to prosecuting Trump, her duty to keeping Georgians safe has failed. And the film concludes with discussions of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Bragg, the film notes, has overseen massive crime spikes in New York, letting violent criminals roam the streets of Manhattan while focusing all his time and energy and resources on going after Trump, the same way with Letitia James. On Bragg's watch, New York Police Department has also seen a staggering 117% increase in resignations from the police department, Bracciotto observes that Bragg's prosecution of Trump is dramatically changing the role of the Manhattan District Attorney's office. His derelict in duty to carry out his functions for everyday law and order on the streets of New York City, Bracciotto said of Bragg, who's opting instead to wage a legal war against Donald Trump out of desire for national attention. Davis observes that Bragg's indictment, which includes 34 felony charges and has been described by legal scholars and pundits of all political stripes as staggering overreach, relies predominantly on a convoluted campaign finance theory. Finally, the film addresses Letitia James, who has received funding from the leftist billionaire George Soros and is actively campaigning to prosecuting Trump. Among other political motive actions, James has sought to seize Trump's assets as part of her civil fraud case, but the White Hats wouldn't let her do it. They stood guard on all Trump's properties, so she couldn't do that. She's also faced bipartisan criticism for allegedly convicting a judge to undervalue Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence to a mere $18 million. Ha! $18 million! Listen, folks, there's nothing on Palm Beach that's worth $18 million. It's all over $18 million, period. Especially right on the Atlantic Ocean. A laughable amount, given that the property is likely worth 10 to 20 times that amount. He's so right. Real justice, honest justice, blind justice, our Constitution demands it. These four prosecutors are shredding that justice. The film's narrator concludes, America deserves better. He's so right. But they're not just going after Trump, but anyone who stands in their way. The Biden administration this past week just showed their true colors, proving without a doubt that they are the authoritarians we all think they are suing, that we all think they are. You know, like Trump said, look, I'm just in the way. They're coming after you. So anybody that speaks out against the Biden administration, anybody that speaks out against everything they're doing, will be punished and persecuted. So like I said, Biden regime this past week showed their true colors without a doubt. They are the authoritarians we think they are by suing a company that refused to help trick the American people. Get this, folks. The fight between Biden and the private company Schlitz Incorporated, Schlitz Incorporated, occurred after Joe Biden paid a visit to one of their Pennsylvania gas stations. After Trump, he couldn't let Trump get all the limelight and all the cameras. And so after Trump had been seen at several establishments surrounded by hordes of supporters chanting his name, you know, Go Trump, go, USA, USA. Well, Biden had to attempt to recreate the same scene to prove he could pull off the same kind of support, except he couldn't. Joe Biden, who got most of his votes, the most votes in history in 2020, I'm serious, Joe Biden got the most votes in all of history in 2020 election, pulled up to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Schlitz gas station, where he was ignored by a few people that by happenstance were there, and then all his paid actors didn't do the best job. Footage from the appearance captured Biden walking in as two children and their mother sat idly by watching the old man wander through the store, likely watching to see if he would trip and fall. But they didn't yell, "Hey, Biden," or anything like that. They just watched him. No big cheers or nothing. In that footage, you could hear the in-store music playing pretty clearly, revealing just how dead silent it was there. No cheers, no stance, chants of his name, no go Biden or nothing. It was supposed to be a positive PR move for President Biden or fake President Biden regime, but it backfired big time and really just made it clear how unpopular the president actually is. Later, Biden would go on to visit a Wagwai gas station where it'd be ultimately be revealed that every single moment of it was carefully scripted to make Biden seem less of a dunce. However, apparently, since Shintz didn't get the memo that every Biden appearance needs to be staged. See, they got one memo saying that one gas station in Pittsburgh, had to be staged, but they didn't get the part where all his gas stations had to be staged to accept, "Hey, Joe Biden, how are you? Oh, Joe Biden for president." Oh, no. So apparently the Shintz Corporation didn't get the memo that every Biden appearance at his gas stations needed to be staged with a group of paid actors willing to pretend to be his supporters so the regime punished them. Oh, yeah. See, they punished them because they paid them to get the actors. They paid for the actors and gave them the money so he'd have a big show and a big appearance. And they stopped at a number of the Shintz Corporation's gas stations. But then when they came in, nobody cheered him on at these other gas stations, so the regime punished him. Just one day after visiting the Shintz gas station, Biden decided to sue Shintz Incorporated for racial discrimination. Oh, yeah. The U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission argued, this is one of their bureaus, U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission, one of their bureaus, argued that their lawsuit that Shintz had violated federal law denying employment of a certain class of applicants based on race because they would not hire felons. Well, this is all just cooked up just to sue them because they were mad and they wanted to punish them. So Shintz, operating more than 600 locations in six states, has for some time been screening out job applicants based on criminal conviction records, denying employment to felons, as many companies do. Well, duh, I wouldn't hire felons either. But according to the Biden administration and their Equal Opportunity Commission, in doing this, Shintz was disappropriately screening out Black, Native American, and Alaskan Native American and multiracial applicants, and federal law mandates that employee practices causing a disparate impact because of race and other protected classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessarily to ensure safe and efficient performance of particular jobs at issue, said the regional attorney Deborah Lawrence from this Equal Opportunity Commission. She concluded, even when such necessity is proven, the practice remains unlawful if there's an alternative practice available that is comparably effective in achieving the employer's goals but causes less discriminatory effect. So they sued him for discrimination. And this Equal Opportunity Commission, Philadelphia District Office Director Jamie R. Williamson said, the Equal Opportunity Commission is dedicated to make sure that individuals with criminal records are not lawfully excluded from employment opportunities because of race, but in reality, it's clear the government agency has an ulterior motive here. just one day after Joe Biden had a political disastrous photo op at one of their stores and several more, this company is being hit with an absurd and baseless accusation of racism, which could force them into serious financial trouble. This is Biden's America, to bankrupt you if you don't go by their rules. They wanted crisis actors to perform and yell, go Biden, go, 2024. For as much as the Democrats claim that Donald Trump is a dictator, Biden continues to prove that he is the true tyrant, and anybody who doesn't go along with his lies is finding that out the hard way. But just the puppet, just the source of this tyranny is coming from the United Nations. That's right, the United Nations. And folks, I'm telling you, you hear over and over again the fake Hillary Clinton saying, Donald Trump's just going to be a dictator and start arresting people. Well, it's probably true. So now they're calling Donald Trump the dictator, a Hitler. Well, Joe Biden's doing exactly that. So they always have this, it's just part of their reverse psychology, this projection of calling you what they are already themselves are doing. But it's all coming from the UN, folks. This is all coming from the UN to crush our country, to deplete us from the middle class so we can't fight back. So I want to bring you award-winning journalist Alex Newman, author of the popular book Deep State, and his new best-selling book called The Indoctrination Our Children to Death, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. That's his new book. And he says the UN's quest for total tyrannical control of your life is coming sooner than you can imagine. Newman explains, the bigger story here is that people are now not paying attention to what the UN is coming together and doing in September, and they are having the summit of the future. They're having a summit in September. They are telling us that they are going to bring out radical, drastic reforms in the structure of the United Nations and the power of the UN. Oh, yeah. Think of it as the biggest power grab ever at a global level. Everybody's talking about the WHO and wanting the force of X, but the even bigger one is coming from the United Nations come this September at their big summit meeting. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has put out briefs where he's calling for the United Nations to be the one world global dictatorship. I'm serious. This is going to be in their new meeting. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, has put out briefs where he is calling for the United Nations to be the one world global dictatorship with him at the helm. In emergencies, the UN would have all power in emergencies and have all power to oversee emergency response in any country, anywhere. They say the crisis could be a climate crisis, an economic crisis, an environmental crisis, a pandemic crisis, a black swan crisis, or maybe something from outer space. Any kind of crisis, they're going to take over power from all countries, and the United Nations will be in control. So basically, everything and anything could be a crisis. And when the Secretary General declares a crisis, all power and authority would go to the UN. They're going to lay out their playbook in September. Folks, I'm trying to prepare you, okay? Before, I was telling you about the WHO wanting to launch this vax control you know, in pandemic control where everybody has to have a vax and new lockdowns and everything. People caught on to that, and they're backing away a little bit. Right now, I'm telling you, in September, the United Nations is going to launch their big authority. This is like a blank check on the wealth and liberty of every person on the planet. And this is coming soon. It is imminent. This September, this is coming in September at the UN, and it is a power grab of historic proportions. They know their time is short, and they're going for the big enchilada here. This is really a summit for tyrannical control of the planet, of our future, and they want control of every aspect of our lives. If you think the depopulation or murder program by the deep state is some sort of conspiracy theory or myth, well, think again. Newman says one of the most interesting things about going to the UN conferences is that they are totally open and totally transparent about the fact that they think they are way too many of us on the planet. They have to eliminate us. We are talking, we're taking up space. We're useless eaters. We're taking up their space and consuming their resources. They say this openly, he says. They say they are way too many people having way too many babies and have to drastically cut back on the number of people on the planet. They have a whole agenda dedicated that's called the UN Population Fund. Oh, yeah. They're going after more money. One surefire way to kill a lot of people in a short amount of time is war, Newman says. They have understood the globalists, the deep state, the evildoers, and the sick cabal have understood for a very long time that war is the best mechanism for bringing about their totalitarian one-world government. This is not speculation on my part, he says. This is what they say. Their game plan is war, famine, energy crisis, economic crisis. That's why they're pushing all this Green New Deal and taking us off fossil fuels. You would think that the big petrol people don't want us to stop using their, but see, they're part of this too. They can get us all on green energy. Then they can bankrupt the United States of America. You know, war, famine, energy crisis, and economic crisis. These are all tools and catalysts for accelerating this agenda. If millions of people die in a third world war, it doesn't matter if it's Iran or Israel or China or Taiwan, Ukraine or Russia. It really doesn't matter. They want millions upon millions, billions of people dead. So people will give up their attachment to the nation state, self-government, and individual liberty, and give up anything, money or freedom, anything to make it stop. Don't lose hope, because Newman also talks about all the things you can do to not comply with tyranny. Newman also points out what state and local governments can do and are doing to resist this UN total control of everything. Newman says we are at war, and everyone needs to put on the full armor of God and take into consideration what the cabal is trying to do. So I'm telling you folks, China's making big military moves as well. This week, 180 high-level naval representatives from 29 countries talk about war. This is a big, big naval exercise. Over 180 high-level naval representatives from 29 countries, including Australia, Cambodia, Chile, France, India, Indonesia, Japan, South Korea, Russia, the U.S., Pakistan, the U.K. are gathering in China to coordinate the ongoing international takedown of the Khazarian Mafia. Think about it. The Russians, Chinese, U.K., and U.S. navies, etc. are all coordinating against a common enemy. So the White Hats are on the prowl, and this big naval exercise from the Russians, the Chinese, the White Hats, Russians, the White Hat Chinese, the White Hat UK, the White Hat US navies are all involved in cooperating against a common enemy. This is why the attempts to use Iran and Israel to start World War III have failed. Instead, a decapitation operation against the Khazarian Mafia is continuing. Like I said, they got Klaus Schwab, the head of Economic Forum, and they got several others, and I'll go more into that in later shows, and that's why I invite all of you to stay tuned to my show every Sunday here at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio Studio B, and I encourage everybody to get the best of the Natural Survivor, Master Survivor University, that is the Master Survivor University, the best of the Master Survivor University has to offer, and that's the Master Survivor Program, by going to themastersurvivoruniversity.com and clicking on the Master Survivor Program and start with number one, $226. I can give you the roadmap to your freedom and to good health. $226, a clump of hair, and that's all Dr. Johnny needs to provide you a roadmap to wellness. Have a good week, everybody. Dr. Johnny, over and out.
People's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to